Amen. Okay, today we are finishing our summer-long walk through the book of Colossians. It's been an awesome summer walking through verse by verse of the book of Colossians. In this time, we've seen Paul talk about the sufficiency of Christ, the supremacy of Christ, the centrality of Christ, as the title of the sermon series was, Christ is all. Christ is all. Okay, we talked about the power of the gospel to work in us and change us. Then the fruit of it comes out and we live differently. We live the gospel. And then he calls to include us as we share it. Okay? And so as Paul, that's how he opens the book. And he helps us to see that Christianity is not some set of beliefs or just a religion. It's a relationship. It's a family. It's a way of life. Okay? And what's cool about this is he's giving us here as he closes the letter, our part. He's like, hey, I want you to be aware of like what now, like, hey, this is it, church, listen. I want to include you with prayer and partnership in the gospel. So if somebody says, hey, what's the sermon about? Prayer and partnership in the gospel. Okay? You already went straight to it. Okay, so you know that's what we're gonna talk about today. But here's what's cool is he closes this letter, he has this like list of names of all these people, and he begins to call out these specific names in a way that encourages us to see that we're all part of the body. Like, we all have a role to play, and this is the cool part, that the power of the gospel is for all of us. So that's the sermon today. We're going to have lots of stories of real everyday people living the gospel and being included in what God's doing. If we look at the beginning of Colossians chapter 1, we see how it started, right? We were right here in chapter 1. Paul says, hey, I'm praying for you. I see your faith. I see the love that comes from the real, true gospel. Like there's evidence that you really get it by the way you believe and the way you live and love. And then he goes on in verse 6 to say that gospel is showing itself different. And not only is it changing your life, but it's going out. And it came to you through a man named Epaphras. So just a little tip here, younger parents giving you some names you might name your kids. It's going to come through the sermon. There'll be lots of them, so just take notes. So Epaphras, here's the deal. Epaphras is a normal, ordinary dude, but he's the one that came and shared the gospel with all these folks in Colossae, and the church got birthed. And so that's what Paul is talking about, because the power of the gospel is that Christ is all, but it's also that this new way of life is for us all. Now, I really feel like the Lord, like, that's the one thing, okay? If there's like this hindrance in the church today, there's this lie that that's only, you know, that way of life or that ministry, that's only for the clergy. You know, that's only for like the spiritually elite people. Can we just agree right now in the name of Jesus, we're just breaking that lie off. The gospel is for all of us, and to be included in this way of life is what Paul is talking about and what he's offering in this letter. It's for all of us. And for us to think, well, I got to achieve some level of knowledge or some level of perfection before I can be included in what God's doing. No. All of us in our insecurities and in our brokenness, whatever, God says, yes, that's how I'm going to make myself known through each of you. So we go to chapter 4, just like Pastor Chris taught us last week. Remember, prayer, partnership in the gospel. Prayer. Remember, he says, devote yourself to prayer. Here it is, right here, chapter 4. He says, what are we going to do with prayer? Man, we're going to be watchful, alert, thankful. Because what he's calling us to in this passage is the opportunity to be included, right? The gospel's got to get in us first, change us, then it begins to flow out of us, and we share it as we live it. And what Paul is saying here is, yeah, that's for all of us, okay? And as he does this, there are two things. There, the power of the gospel does that and changes us. The power of prayer is what he's offering us. We need to be praying with people, and we need to be praying for people. Okay? With people and for people. And when we pray with people, man, this is among the chiefest, wondrous gifts that God gives us, to be able to pray with people. Every time the church gathers, whether it's here, whether it's in life group, whether it's at an event, you guys, we should all be going, who am I going to pray with today? Like, who are we going to go to Jesus with today? There's such joy found in that. And we just sort of forfeit that for some reason. As if I have to have the words perfect or have to be some certain person to pray with someone. And the church should be the house of prayer. Amen? Okay, then we need to pray for people. There may be situations where somebody doesn't know Jesus, right? We're all empowered to say, okay, as I'm interacting with somebody, know them, don't know them, ask them questions. See what's on their heart. And then simply say, could I pray for you? We've talked about that. You want some good God stories? Give that a shot. You'll see them. That's a joy. That's a good thing to be included. And all of us can do this. Okay? I want to invite up a friend of mine who's a powerful intercessor who prays for people. Give it up for Stacy Neighbors. Come on up, Stacy. So Stacy is a man. She's one of these like behind the scenes power pack prayer. Okay? Like she's like when I go to the hospital to pray for somebody, she's already there. I mean, no, seriously, like this week. She's on our freedom prayer team. She's on our prophetic prayer team. She is has just a heart for praying with and for people. So I just wanted you to hear from her heart kind of what that looks like for her to kind of stir that this is for all of us. So Stacy, let's encourage Stacy. She's not really happy to be. I mean, she's happy. So it's like, do I have to get on stage? Yes. Okay, so, but she's willing to do this. This is a stretch for her because she wants God's heart for intercession to be heard, okay? Okay, so share us about that. Like, what does that look like for you? Why is intercession so important for you?
To start off with, the stage is not my thrive zone, but prayer is.
Amen.
The Lord had stirred a scripture in me. Here's the one thing I crave from God. The one thing I seek above all else. I want the privilege of living with him every moment in his house, finding the sweet loveliness of his face, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to live my life so close to him that he takes pleasure in my every prayer. And why is intercession so important to me is because it's birthed out of worship. It's birthed out of worship for God. And when I pray, it helps me to better understand God's will and his way. And it helps me to see all of you through his lens. And when I am positioned that way in worship, and I'm able to see you, or any of us, through the lens of Christ, it helps me to align my heart with his, and then the outflow, the things that bubble up in me, becomes prayer. And it's usually from his scripture. And one of the things that I have found is that there's many of you in this room that have interceded on my behalf, and it is powerful. And the flip of that is true, is that I have gotten the opportunity to stand in the gap for many of you, and I've seen the fruit of that too. And so I just want to say that there's power in prayer.
Amen. Okay, so tell us, I know you walk very closely with the Lord, and prayer is birthed out of that close relationship, but he also gives you some dreams from time to time. And you shared that one with me. I was like, oh, you have to share that. So could you share that dream?
Okay. So back in October 2018, I had a dream. Unbeknownst to me, God was preparing me for what he was going to do on a large-scale move this summer. It's become a springboard of much intercession, and I won't dive into all the details because they were great, and it was an exciting dream, but the highlights were I was looking over a cliff, and I saw many fish of different sizes and types, and they were near the shore, and I was just like, immediately, whenever I saw that, I felt like the Lord was just impressing on me that they're ready. And he gave me the verse. Jesus called out to them and said, come and follow me, and I will transform you into men who catch people for God. So through the course of the dream, he showed me that he was preparing and multiplying the workers that would go. And at one point in the dream, I was boldly commanded to just pray. That was my position. I actually thought I was going to be feet on the ground in some of these really exciting places because that's what I wanted to do. But the bold command to just pray is a very important command, and we need to obey it, and we need to follow through with that. Because as a result of, I know I'm not the only intercessor in the room, but that has been praying for all the things that have been going on around the world, even just the next step in front of us is our mission step. Some amazing salvation stories, guys. That is like hallelujah. We need to be praising God. We need to be praying for more. Mm-hmm. And then really quick before I move on. When I woke up from the dream, that was really crazy because I was like, what, God? That was so amazing. I don't want to wake up. And he gave me a picture in my mind's eye of a golden field just with the word harvest on it. And one of the things that he impressed on me is, it's ripe, it's ready, he needs you. And ever since October 2018 until this day, I get that picture often. And so one of the things that I just want to encourage each of us is, and that's me, starting with me, is to press into him and ask him, what's my involvement? How do you want to include me? What do you want to do in and through me?
So I want to make sure we connect, like, sometimes we don't always see the exact answer to the prayer at the time we want and all that. But in this case, man, just to share with you, like, what God's done through Crossbridge just this summer. Mm-hmm. Kirk shared some of that the other day with, you know, over 1,200 people hearing about the gospel personally, and 600-700 people trusting Christ for salvation just this summer through our mission teams. Come on, that's amazing. And the connection between prayer and that is very clear in Scripture. So, Stacy, how would you encourage all of us, because this is for all of us, how would you encourage us in intercession? This is the last question.
Position humbly in prayer and wait on the Lord. He'll guide you, he'll direct you, he'll show you. Ask and believe God for more. I think that one of the biggest hindrances that we have is that we're not believing the more he has for us. And so he doesn't want us to remain tomorrow what we are today. The Holy Spirit lives in each one of us, and he's ready to move. Amen. And I think that one of the things that he's asking us to do is, will you get out of your comfort zone and get into mine and let's go? And so I guess with one of the things that I'd just like to end with is that God knows all of our hearts. And he's not really about the eloquent, very articulated prayer. He's about the prayers that align with his heart. And sometimes the most simplest prayer are the most powerful prayers. So.
Amen. Give it up for Stacy. Thank you, Stacy. Put it in a chair back there. The chair? Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Stacy, so much. I love it. So just takeaways. First, who are you praying with? Who are you praying for? I think looking at our prayer lives is really an important reflection we could take away from today. When Paul closes the letter, I remember I told you there was this list of names, okay? He starts calling out all these people's names, and it's no accident. Now, this is a passage that's probably not preached on a whole lot because it looks like just closing credits, but there's a reason it's in here, right? The Holy Spirit gave this to Paul for a reason. It's in the Bible. It's true, and it's for us. Amen? So here's the deal. As all these names are listed, I mean, Paul's among the most gifted men in all of Scripture, most power-packed, but he's saying, nope, I'm part of a team. There are all these people that are a part of the team of living the gospel and sharing the gospel. And I'm going to give you a few names. So here he goes. Verse 7, he goes, Tychicus. Here's another name, parents, right? Y'all taking notes? Just in case you name your kids. Tychicus tells you the news about me. But look how he's described in this scripture. He's a dear brother. He's a faithful minister. He's a fellow servant in the Lord. Could that be said of you? You should have an emphatic yes. if you're in the family of God. We're brothers because we're in the family. Okay? We're ministers because all of us are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He made you. He shaped you. He knows who you are. He's given you gifts. He's giving you the opportunity for his spirit to communicate through you. And he's a servant because we're serving the king, not just the king, the risen king, the one and only king. That should thrill our hearts. That should generate, man, this inside of us to be excited. But look what he says, why I sent him and Onesimus, one other name, to you, so you'd know about our circumstances and so that he may encourage your hearts. So this morning, we're just to tell a few stories, and I hope that happens. I hope you get your hearts encouraged. You're going to hear about normal, ordinary, everyday people who are out just living the gospel out loud, okay? So there's power. There's power in sharing. There's power in sharing your story, and there's power in sharing God's story. I just encourage you, every follower of Christ needs to know how to share their testimony of how Jesus changed their life, and they need to be able to share the hope of the good news of Jesus. So when we share our story, good things happen. In Colossians 1, remember we talked about Epaphras, that guy? Okay, he talked about again, chapter 4, verse 12. Look how he's mentioned. Epaphras, who's one of you, a servant of Jesus, but listen how he's described. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and assured. I vouch that he's working hard. He's described as wrestling in prayer for you and working hard for the Lord in the church. I ask again, could that be described of you? We want to have another emphatic yes, because we want our lives to matter for eternity. Epaphras was one who had these believers, this church, in his heart because he had shared the gospel with them. I want to introduce you to somebody like that. Andy and Tresham McKnight, come on up. Give it up for Andy and Tresham. Many of you know Andy and Tresham. They've been here before. Many of you are new and you don't. But man, this couple here, man, living the gospel out loud, powerful testimony. They're just going to share a little today, but there's going to be other opportunities for you to catch on to what God's doing in Romania, but I'm going to let you share that. So tell us about your ministry and how you see the gospel being lived out in your area.
Well, howdy. That's my best Texan. It's wonderful to look over this crowd and see faces that we've known for many, many years. Many of you have been to Romania and came and touched and seen and held and prayed for these precious people. Some of you haven't been there, so I'm going to start with a little bit of a history lesson. Back in 89, communism was overthrown by the people of Romania. The Soviet Union stepped back, let go of their hold on the country. The people rejoiced in the streets. The rest of the world sent in supplies of food, clothing, medicine. Amongst the medicine supplies was blood, bags of unscreened and untested blood for HIV. It was taken to hospitals and clinics and orphanages, given to malnourished children, and thousands of boys and girls were infected with HIV. That was the birth of the Joshua Project 10 years before we got there. But these boys and girls were locked behind doors, locked into buildings in cages, tied into cots, into beds, and left to die and to suffer by themselves. But you know, we have a good God, amen?
Amen?
We have a great Savior and we have a Redeemer who lives. And they began asking God, five-year-old kids, locked away, suffering and dying, ask God, send us a Redeemer. Send us someone to take care of us in our suffering. And God answered that prayer in 1999, 10 years later, whenever Tricia and Claudia and Tony and later on myself walked into these buildings where these boys and girls were locked away. And how do we know that? Because whenever they walked in, Tricia walked in with Claudia the first day, the kids at the top of the stairs looked over and shouted, "You came." And they were like, "What do you mean we came?" And they said, "We've been asking God to send someone." Are you a someone? I believe you are.
Mm-hmm. Share with us, like Epaphras, who was wrestling in prayer. I know you're working hard and wrestling in prayer. Tell us, as you're praying, how you've seen God work through your prayers. Trisha.
So everyone who knows me knows I love to tell a story. So I'm going to tell a story. A story that was life-changing for my prayer life. And his name is B, and I can't give you his full name because I'm not allowed. It doesn't matter. His name is B. And when I found him in the hospital, he was 8. It was the first time he'd ever been hugged or touched. And I had no idea at 21 years old what God would do in the life of a little boy named B. Well, I prayed over him, sat with him, colored with him, and held his hand, and then he left. And I didn't think he'd make it. So I was thanking God that I got to pray for him. But do you know, 13 years later, he appeared again, and he was alive. And he said, "Hi, I don't know if you remember me, but I remember you. And can I come to your center?" So he started to come every day. And I started to pray for him in a way that I've never prayed for anyone. And as we prayed, after the first visit, when his father told Claudia she would never make anything of this child, he was worthless. And she told him, "I won't make anything of this child, but you just watch what my God does." So we prayed and we poured in and we loved on that kid who hated himself. He appeared at our camp in drag because he was so lost and scared. By the end of the camp, he had taken off the drag. And by the end of the next year, he was saved and baptized. Our God is that incredible, but the story doesn't end there. He came to camp this year. And God gave me a prayer for B that I've never prayed specifically and intensely for anyone. And that was that he would make him a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To his own people, to kids with HIV and AIDS. I had never asked God for that, that he would send someone back into the hell he came from and use him to transform lives. Because who can use a kid with HIV to change the world? Our God can. Camp finished. Incredible time. Biggest camp we've ever had. He came up to me at our follow-up day. And he pulled me aside and he said, "Mama Tricia." He said, "I want you to know that your prayer has worked. And I signed up for school yesterday. And I'm going to finish the 8th grade, and then I'm going to seminary." I was floored at the goodness of Jesus Christ to transform a child who was abandoned, beaten, abused his entire life. With a disease he had no choice in, to transform him through prayer into a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You tell me there's something God can't do. And I'll tell you about B.
Amen. Bring it, Trisha, bring it. Okay, I like that. That was awesome. It was so good. Oh my goodness. Praise the Lord. Powerful redemption. Tell us just how, I know there'll be more time to ask questions and talk, but in your where you are right now in your ministry. We're talking about partnership in the gospel. So how can we partner with you? How can we pray? How can we
bless you? Some of the things we need right now for prayer is physical health. Trish and I have been through a lot this year. She stands here with three discs out of place in her back with a trapped nerve. So you can imagine what that's like. That's really uncomfortable and cramps her style quite a bit getting to people when she's suffering so much. Me too. I've been through some medical stuff this year. We're praying that God would touch us. We're doing what we can to make it right. But if you'd cover us that way in prayer, pray for these kids. Some of them not with us anymore, but with Jesus right now in glory. Pray for them that as we go out, we would be that somebody that reaches out with the gospel into their lives. Pray with us that we can get to them all and reach into them dark places. Mm-hmm. Just a physical need right now is a new vehicle. We're trying to raise $10,000 to put another car on the road so we can get to their lives, to their villages, and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for the finances of the ministry as well, that we can keep on going. We're still just four people out there, Tony and Claudia and us two, reaching out to thousands now in hospitals and orphanages and all over Romania.
I'm going to really push this one. I need you. I need you to come help. There are over 10,000 children in our ministry alone reaching other children. But they need our help. I need you to come. I need you to join a team and come help us share from our five-day-old to our 72-year-old grandmother. And every age in between, I need you to come shout it with me that Jesus is real, amen, that he's transformational, and that he can use them by the power of Jesus Christ. We need team members for the camp this coming summer. And we are taking signups now. We want to see a Crossbridge team shouting at the top of their lungs that Jesus Christ is real in the HIV and AIDS community of Romania. Will you join us? It has been life-changing for me to say yes. So please come and help me. Shout it at the top of our lungs that he is alive. Thank you.
Amen. Give it up for Andy and Tricia. Thank you, guys. Andy and Tricia will be in the office after the service. If you want to ask more questions, if God's stirring something in your heart about Romania and something they said, just come ask. Just come check it out. Partnerships in the gospel. It's good stuff. I want to highlight another place of a partnership in the gospel, and that's in Costa Rica. We just sent a team, and they came back just a few weeks ago, and I've just had the blessing of getting to be a part of those teams for the last 4 or 5 years, seeing God move in Liberia, Costa Rica. I mean, we do sports camps, we do door-to-door praying and sharing of the gospel, and we do all kinds of ministry, discipleship, but what we've seen is the group of locals in this city begin to swell. Like, there's a move of God going on, and we're partnering with what God's doing there, and it's exciting, okay? This group of people right here, just look at this picture for a second, okay? What we've done is we took some of that basic discipleship training that we do here, we did in Uganda, and that we've partnered with other folks that have helped us with this training and passed it on to the locals here. This is the team. 18, 20-year-old dudes. Look at them. Let no one look down on you because of your youth. Okay? This is who's hungry. This is who's ready. This is who God is stirring the hearts of these guys right here. And that's Joselle there in the red shirt. We got to pray a prayer of commissioning over these guys. And the leader of those is a precious young couple that we're going to try to video Skype right now. So hopefully it'll work. There he is, Charlie. Everybody say hi to Charlie Ruiz.
Hello. Good morning, y'all. How are you?
All right. From Liberia, Costa Rica. Charlie and Abby, so good to see your face. Love you, dude.
Love you too.
Tell us how you got involved with Impacto and how Jesus got a hold of your hearts.
Well, actually, it's almost 5 years ago that we met Steve Samaniego in a Central Park at Liberia. And actually, we were praying about what to do for the kingdom, because I was about to end my PE career. And I was thinking like, hey, how can I put my abilities, my knowledge about sports in the kingdom of God? And I found Steve Samaniego and with the idea of doing sport camps. So I met him and we got the idea. We heard the voice of the Lord telling us to do something for him, using our knowledge, using our abilities, using, you know, our context and everything to make this happen. And so, yeah, 5 years ago, we started working with Impacto and making this happen, thanks to the Lord, and there was it.
Amen. Okay, so I know you did that. You're talking specifically about soccer, because that's sort of what you were lit up about, right? But you were also wanting to see how could we include Jesus in on that. But tell us, like, Charlie, like, what are you seeing in your city right now? Like, where is God moving? Where is the kingdom expanding in Liberia right now?
Well, through that I was talking before, using this access, you know, these doors to the kids, like using sports, using games and this kind of stuff is something that we are actually using every week with the YWAM team also, like going to neighborhoods, poor neighborhoods to see and help with their needs, to involve the kids, you know, with the love of God, making like games for them. We work also with a feeding center and ideas like this, you know, making this happening. And yeah, it's something that we try to do our best and put our service into the Lord, like trying to go and through the partnership, through the helping each other, to trying to build, you know, a relationship with the people, with the kids in the city, and through that, you know, through our acts, through the love of God in our acts, we can show the love of God to them.
Awesome. Now tell us about this discipleship training. What are you looking forward to the most about that?
Well, we're so excited. We are a group of 6-8 youth guides that we are do actually at the same thing that I was sharing at the beginning. We were praying. We were kind of tired, you know, like doing the same things at church. And we find this training like the opportunity to share with the people that we are able to be part of it. No, we don't have to wait for years to training or years to be a kind of a pastor or something to make this happen. And we find in a 411 training, discipleship training, the way to go door by door, to go into the streets of the neighborhood and tell everyone what God has for them, and then have the opportunity to do the same, just knowing that the Bible said for us, you know, His love, that we are new creators, and we can do this because it's in our heart.
Dude, I'm so proud of you. I love you, man. I can't wait to see you again soon.
Love you too, man.
All right, church, give it up for Charlie Ruiz. Love you, bro. I love getting to see that. I tell you, those relationships are so special. When we go on a mission like that, we don't just go and then come back. It's developing relationships and then watching the gospel spread. And it spreads through everyday people, okay? And I just want to feel like God's just stirring up that heart for all of us to get that in our heads and understand. If we go even match that with the passage in the scripture, looking back in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. He speaks of more names, Aristarchus, Mark, Justice. But look how he describes them here in verse 11. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Charlie and Abby and that team, they're co-workers in the kingdom of God. This is bigger than you and I, right? Doesn't everybody, aren't we like hardwired to like want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves and great? Right? It just, that's what God's saying we're all a part of. Remember, because Christ is all, but this new way of life is for us all. So this is just a fun time to get to see God do that. So our team came back. I told you that we had 18 people on this last team. It was awesome. We had moms and daughters. We had moms and sons. We had teenagers. We had old people. We had young people. We had all kinds of different people, but they came together to, again, share the love and light of Jesus. And I want you to hear just one perspective from a Crossbridge person in what that was like for them. So invite up Tamara Lohman. Give it up for Tamara. And Tamara's been going here for, I don't know, how long have you been going here for?
A long time.
Okay, good. So Tamara stepped into this trip, and she'd been before, but felt like God specifically called her to go to this trip. And so tell us, from single mom, bringing a son on the trip, like what was all that like getting ready for that?
So like I said in the first service, it really starts with the call. And they talk about the call when they come up here and they're saying, will you come? You know, like they said, come with us. What does that call feel like? And then what do you do when you get that call? So I was sitting in my seat and I felt like God said, okay, it's your time to go back. But this time you're going to take your 11-year-old son with you. And a few seats over, he was circling the trip and he was writing, Mama, you need to go. So God was already including my son in that and he just didn't know yet. So it starts with abiding. You need to recognize and discern that God is saying this is for you right now, because there's going to be a lot of things that come to your mind to discourage you or say it's not the time. I mean, I know I personally was going through layoffs at work, which made it very difficult for me to just want to be able to step out in obedience and faith and trust. But I felt like in that uncertainty, God was saying, you just need to trust the process. And he showed me John 15:5, that he is the vine and I'm the branch. And so I needed to be abiding and I needed to step out in obedience and step out in faith and sign up for the trip, even though I didn't know what anything was going to look like at that point.
All right. So tell us now, you're on the trip. Where did you see the power of God in you or through you? Personal experience.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. No doubt.
Everywhere. So much. It was an amazing trip. God moved, I mean, even from the ticket counter when I was trying to get on my flight, there was this big ordeal with maybe not making the flight, and I had to trust that if it was God's timing, I was going to get to go. But even the lady at the ticket counter, I just kept telling her, you know, if it's God's timing, if it's God's will, then this is going to work, and I'll get on the plane. And if not, then do I let my son go with Brian and a few others and stay here and try to catch the next flight the next day, whatever that looked like. So I saw God move because this lady made some phone calls, and I was able to get on the plane when I thought that I wouldn't be able to. Then on the ground, when we first got there, we got to hear this man's testimony and story immediately waiting for our ride to pick us up. And we got to pray with this man. So God just started moving in the little things all the way up to the big things, like being included, because that's really what he was doing. He was including me after he'd already included so many others to be able to pray when people wanted to make their decision to accept Christ in their hearts. And that was groundwork that had been laid up years prior through prayer for people that were interceding, for people that were doing discipleship with these three from San Antonio specifically, that didn't even know they were going on a missions trip. They just thought they were going to Costa Rica and had no idea what God had in store for them, to the locals there in Liberia. So I just got to partner with what everybody else had done before me.
Cool. And then as a, with a mom's perspective, with your son there, tell us a little bit about how that was like.
So Tristan means bold. Even though Tristan means bold, my son can be very shy. So it was really encouraging to watch Tristan step out in faith.
And he's how old?
11.
11.
And to watch him step out in what was uncomfortable in sports camps where he couldn't really articulate or have conversations due to the language barrier or to the door-to-door Bible distribution. He didn't want to go to the beach the next day, y'all. Like, he was like, no, I don't want to take a day off to go to the beach. We've been working all week, but I want to go door to door again. I want to share the love of God again. So he was a little disappointed, but once he got to the beach, he was okay. But just to see his heart in that, to see that at 11 years old, he didn't want a vacation day. He's like, Mama, I just want to go share. I just want to share because these people need the love of God. And so to watch him step out, to speak in front of a church full of people, that was huge. That was a lot. And I rewatched that video because it just blesses me every time that God entrusted me with these kids and with my son and the call that he has on his life. And it's so encouraging. If God tells you that it's your time to go step out and do something, and he tells you to invite your kids, no matter how old, take them, because God is going to work through them and God is going to do something in their lives, and it's going to bless you too.
Okay, so you're holding a note.
Yes.
Tristan couldn't be here, but he wanted you, he gave you this, right?
Yes. So Tristan was bummed, but he's in Tahoe. And he said, it does not matter how old or young you are. Neither does it matter your background or your story. God can use you. That's an 11-year-old, and he gets it. He gets that it doesn't matter. You know, there was a season where I was like, I'm just a single mom. Mm. I am just... You know, I work in a drug and alcohol recovery center, so I am just this, I am just that. But this little note that my son gave me is so encouraging, because we are not just anything. God is including us and asking us to step out in faith, And I know that I was put here for such a time as this. You were put here for such a time as this. And all he needs is a yes. And even in the uncertainty, if you say yes, he's going to make a way. He's going to make a way for you and your family. And the generational impact that I love, that I got to do this with my baby boy. And next year I'll get to do it with my daughter and she'll be 11. But I get to see the fruit of that already, that they have these conversations with their friends. They have these conversations with adults. They're excited about it. Tristan is excited because he said yes, mama said yes, and God showed up in a huge, huge way.
Amen. Give it up for Tamara. Woo! I love that. Man, I just echo that. Okay, first of all, I didn't talk to Tristan to tell him to write that. We never talked. That's pretty cool. We knew that was the sermon. Holy Spirit, he does that. It's God. So the blessing of getting to be a part of this mission team, and if you've done this, you understand what I'm saying. What would it be like if all of us really got that we're a part of this grander team as partnership in the gospel? And we were all on the mission of living the gospel and sharing the gospel. Like, when you're on that mission team, there is this bond that you have. Now, you've sacrificed to be there, time, money, you know, but you know why you're there. And you're like on it. You're like ready. Like Tamara said, we didn't know the ticket counter to leave. The plane lands and there's a taxi cab driver. Start praying for him. I mean, it was like, it was just right there. Okay, that's the beauty and the cool part of when our hearts are aligned like that from prayer and what God's including all of us in. And so this list of names, it just keeps going. Follow along with me. Verse 15, it says, give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and Nympha and the church in her house. She's got a church in her house. She's a life group leader. This church is a life group. And here he is. She says, I don't know what I can do, but you know what I can do? I can open my home. Come on, come meet in my house. Right? So that's the power of community. And then verse 16, Paul says, after this letter's been read to you, see that it's also read in the other church. Laodicea, and then you read theirs. It's the power of passing it on, right? We're made like, what's the first thing? If you see this awesome movie, and it's like the best movie you've ever seen, it's like, oh my gosh, it's so great. What's the first thing you do? Man, you tell everybody, right? You put it on social media. You tell all your friends and family, like, you got to go see this. That's a movie. What about the hope of Jesus Christ that he saves? Okay, so what I'm saying is, what Paul's saying here is, there's power in passing it on. The last, he closes the letter to the church and he calls out this guy named Archippus. One more name for you, moms and dads, to write down possible names for your kids. He calls out Archippus. Look what he says to him in verse 17. He says, see to it that you complete the ministry you've received in the Lord. Now, I don't know what was going on with Archippus. I mean, maybe he was tired, maybe he was discouraged, maybe. Hell, I don't know if you resonate with this. There is power in your calling and in perseverance. And somebody needs to hear that right now, today, because God put a calling on your life. God did something in your heart, and it's sort of, for maybe one reason or the other, it just sort of got it shifted over to the left. And Paul takes the time to call this guy by name. He matters that much. And he says, yeah, you need to step back into that. And the beauty of this list of names, you know, ministry, we all have this ministry. Ministry is not something we do for God. Now, ministry is something God does in us, and then it flows out of us. And I just want to finish with this. All these list of names, who wouldn't want to be included in that list of names? Right? Like, here it is. There's all these names, all this opportunity for God to make himself known. And for you and I, we don't just come and sit in a meeting once a week. That's not church. That's a service, and it's valuable. Church is the people of God, indwelled with the Spirit of God, living out the Word of God, and focused on the mission of God, which is reconciling people to himself. And you and I want a life of significance. You want a life filled with passion and power to count for something beyond myself and today. This is what he's offering, and this is what Paul's telling this church. And like Tamara said, no one here should say, oh, I'm just this. It's for all of us. I want to close a little different way. Everybody stand up with me. Just stand up. And just as we finish right now, I want you to grab the hand of the person next to you and go across the aisle. Grab their hand. If you can do that. Grab their hand. This we're just going to pray together, right? What was today about? Prayer, partnership in the gospel. Prayer, partnership in the gospel. Lord, we're going to pray right now in Jesus' name. Here's what I want you to do. I just want you to agree in faith. Like just we're pooling our faith. Hundreds of people saying, we believe you, God, to be that God that's changed me and now you want to work through me. And it's for all of us. Every one of us. Okay, so close your eyes. You just pray this with me. Jesus, we declare the truth together as your people that the gospel of grace is for all of us. Lord, we reject the lie that I have to have some performance level standard. Lord, you can use me right now in my brokenness. You can include me right now, even in my insecurities. We reject the lie of spiritual elitism. No, it's for all. Lord, we agree with the power of your Spirit working inside of us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You're the one that does the changing. You're the one that does the empowering. You're the one that does the filling. Would you work through your church? Lord, we're just calling out spiritual gifts, Lord. You've given every one of us, Lord, gifts. Lord, would you awaken us to what those are so that we might use them for the sake of others, building up your church, bringing salvation to the lost. God, we want to be included, Lord. Raise up leaders, Lord. We need dads to be dads and husbands to be the spiritual leaders, Lord. We need leaders in the church. We need leaders in the business community. We need men and women that want to stand up and say, I'm in. Jesus, it's all about you. Would you expand your kingdom through us one heart at a time, God? Oh, we want to see that done. And Lord, we pray that the stamp, the mark, the fruit that would represent that in our lives would be love. Your love, God. Your love, Lord. Your love is perfect. Your love bears all things. Your love believes all things. Your love hopes all things. Your love endures all things. Your love never fails. God, would it come? Would this be a house of prayer? Would this be a house that's focused on you, that loves you, that wants to make your name famous? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or we disagree, would you raise our faith? And would you engage us as the body to go out and be who you've called us to be? In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Good Sunday, right? All right.